9 o'clock, Jim and the Buckeye Boy. Wine and Better Wednesday with Talon Wine. Text or call us 970-242-1340. Need to get something off your chest. Dylan, want to whine about aggressive drivers on Patterson instead of lane weaving and being NASCAR pushy. If you cruise and go the speed limit, you'll make it faster. Hope the Avs can keep it up.
Yeah, I take Patterson home pretty much every day. From 30 road to 32 road, if you do the, quote, speed limit, unquote, you're going to get run over. You will get the finger for doing 40 miles an hour because you're slowing everybody down. The speed limit is 40.
But what I hate, though, on the opposite end of that, is somebody doing 10 to 15 miles an hour under the speed limit.
Agreed.
I mean, doing the speed limit's one thing. That's fine. You shouldn't be on somebody's bumper. You shouldn't be tailgating them. You shouldn't have that aggressive driving. But
if I'm doing 7 over and you're riding me like I'm doing 15 under,
that's ridiculous.
Then guess who's now going to be trying to go 15 under?
As well you should.
I will pace the car in the other lane specifically to slow you down.
I've probably done that myself. Yeah, and it's one thing if you're driving well under the speed limit. But you're right. If you're 5 to 7 miles an hour of the speed limit, somebody's on your butt like you're 20 miles an hour under, that's ridiculous. Come on. Agree with you about on that one, Dylan. Also have one from Ruben this morning. Good morning. My whine is that you stole my whine about left turn signal runner. That would have been Rick, actually, Ruben.
And me.
And I guess you are the one. That's right. Rick brought it up about people needing to turn when the light's green. But you brought it up about running the light. Thank you. So I've been stewing on that for weeks, but I haven't put pen to paper, even used jack wagon, the exact term I utter every time I see that selfish move.
Yep.
Well played.
I'm with you there. I use jack wagon because the FCC is listening.
Let's see one from the other Jim D. Thought it was interesting that John Schmoltz said that only 20% of teams believe their manager that they're going to have a successful season to make the playoffs. What do you think the Rockies think?
Well, it depends on who you're asking with the Rockies.
True. Now, if you ask Dick Monfort every year, this year has been a more real, closer to realism, to realistic expectations than ever before. Well, we hope we can be 500.
But they feel they are successful with Bud Black, with the side of who else are we going to get?
Exactly. And so, is Bud the problem with the Rockies?
No.
Bud's not. If Bud was the problem, I think you and I would say, Bud Black's the reason why they can't contend for a division title or contend for the wild card.
They can't contend for a division title because they don't spend money wisely.
They don't have good enough starting pitching.
No.
They, offensively, the Rockies are not what they once were.
Nope.
They do not have a lineup that you go out and you just absolutely fear. When they had Arenado and DJ and Story, and going back to the Lake Street Bombers with Galarraga and Bichette and Walker and guys like that. They don't have a lineup like that now. They have Chris Bryant, who might be pretty good this year.
Right.
I don't know if he can stay healthy. Ryan McMahon is extremely up and down. You have CJ Cron, who's turned into a really good, consistent power hitter, reliable power guy for you in the lineup. But it's not like he's Shohei Ohtani or Aaron Judge. Let's be realistic about that.
If he was, the Angels would have kept him.
Absolutely.
compare with those two guys.
So you have,
well, not Judge, but
yeah, and you have a bullpen that's still not great, and a starting rotation, like I said, that is. There's good pieces. Herman Marquez. Depends on which Herman Marquez decides to show up. But couple of years ago, the guy that made it to an All-Star game, and then the guy that flamed out horribly after the All-Star game in Denver, who's wildly inconsistent. But are all those Bud Blacks, are those his problems? Are he, is he the reason why, is he the guy keeping the Rockies from getting to where they should? No, because they don't have the talent to get there. They just don't.
He's cooking with the ingredients he's given, and his ingredients aren't great.
Exactly.
I've been saying this for years, that if they go into a draft with 15 or 20 draft picks, they need to draft 12 to 15 pitchers. They need to just throw bodies at the problem. I was like, well, what are they going to do position player-wise? C.J. Crone, Chris Bryant, for lack of a better term, Jerickson Profar.
Maybe Mike Moustakas.
Mike Moustakas. They can find dudes that can drive in and score some runs. And
in
you know
that
what?
Ballpark, yes.
If you can keep your, if your starting ERA is under 5 and your bullpen ERA is 4-ish, then you know what? You don't need 150 RBIs to win games. Get a team that can travel and that can just score runs at home. You just need dudes that can hit the ball hard. It'll find a place to fall in the outfield. In the air at Coors Field, it will get out of the ballpark. You don't need to draft Tolias and Veans and Romos and all these guys. Yes, having a couple of young core guys every cycle or so helps, but you just go find dudes that can hit the ball. How many guys are out there in Major League Baseball right now that you could sign, spend $8, $10 million a year on, and they'll hit you 25 home runs? At Coors Field, that's probably 30 home runs. Look at C.J. Crone. He was available, and to the point to where he had his one of his best statistical seasons and was still available enough to be re-signed. You can find dudes. You got to throw arms at the problem bullpen, and until they start doing that, it doesn't matter who the manager is. They're not going to be successful.
And if anybody says that Bud Black is the problem,
they don't know what's going on.
You don't know how this roster is put together. You don't know what the talent is of this baseball team. You just don't.
Or the lack of talent.
The lack thereof.
Or you just see that the simplistic, the most overly simplistic of...
Change the manager.
Just change the manager.
It's got to be coaching.
Just go get guys. Well, like, you're not allowed to take anybody hostage anymore in Major League Baseball. It's been outlawed for a while now.
Kurt Flood changed that.
Yes.
Back in the 70s.
You have to let them test free agency, and some guys aren't gonna stay.
And some guys don't want to come and play Coors Field, particularly pitchers. And so it gets back to that old thing of which they've tried before. You've got to develop guys within your own organization to pitch, and you hope that you know they develop, and you hope that they want to stick around. And they've tried a variety of solutions. They've tried that approach. The homegrown guys, the Sean Chacones, guys like that. They've gone down that road before. And they've also spent money in free agency. Hampton and Nagel. Daryl Kyle. I mean, they've gone out and spent money on position guys recent years. Ian Desmond. Daniel Murphy. Guys like that. But their best success was really when they could outscore anybody, the Blake Street Bombers, and he had just good enough pitching.
Yeah.
Just good enough. And now you don't have that offensive lineup. So the pitching's got, it has to improve.
It's
got to
come around.
It has to be better than what it is. And, you know, whether or not it was a good decision to sign Kyle Freeland to his deal, I don't know about that. It's a great story. It's color, and there he goes, Colorado guy.
Mm-hmm.
It was TJ guy that pitched here, you know, pitched in the state in high school, and hasn't, outside of 1-2 years, hasn't worked out great with Kyle Freeland.
Not really, no.
So, anyway, Jim Davis Show brought to you by Preston Lee Country Financial, believes in building relationships, supporting the community, and serving others. Have a chat with him and let him help you protect the things that are important to you. Google him at Preston Lee Country Financial. Who do we have on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line?
This is Baseball Paul. We're talking baseball. It's only fitting.
Okay, Baseball Paul, go ahead.
How that works out.
It is only fitting, and I enjoyed actually watching WBC last night.
It was fun.
I flipped on the last three innings. It was absolutely entertaining. It was really fun to watch. But you talk about the Rockies, and I've got a love-hate interest with them. I think this is a phenomenal baseball region, not state, not city, but region. But until you do the three fundamental things that you need to do to build a winning baseball team, it's not going to happen here. In my opinion, the three fundamental things are this. Number one, you have to have ownership that is, A, willing to spend money. I think they are actually willing to spend money. And B, you have to have ownership that understands that they're not baseball people. Get out of the way. Hire a baseball guy that can come in and knows what he's doing. Number two, you have to have the ability to have scouts that know talent and that can draft talent. And then number three, you have to be able to develop that talent. I think the Rockies are void in all three of those areas. And until Dick Montfort gets out of his way and hires a baseball guy, this region is destined to fill up Coors Field with their party deck and a whole bunch of fans from other teams that come to visit. Your thoughts, fellas.
All right, Paul. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling today. He's right in those areas. He's correct in that you look at, well, we've talked about this before. People are like, the Rockies are so cheap. Montfort's cheap. Dick and Charlie are cheap.
Just spend the money and they can win.
This is an age-old thing we've talked about. It's a myth. They spend the money. They do.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't, as we said before, they don't.
Spend wisely.
They're like guys that invest in crypto.
Yelling about
they invest in crypto or Enron back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
They don't invest it wisely. They spend the money. And they get it. They spend $75 million. I'm going to go back to Ian Desmond once again. $75 million on Ian Desmond. How did that work out?
Not very well.
Not well at all.
Last year, the 2022 contract. Sorry, this is 2023. So this won't even work because you can't say World Series winner because there isn't one yet. You take Houston Astros were eighth in spending with $145 million. The Rockies were down at 66. That's not great. But you take a look at this year, team spending. The defending champion Astros are 10th at 178. Rockies, 15th at 147. Everybody's miles and miles behind the Mets and Yankees and Padres who haven't won anything. Phillies are 4th. They got to the World Series. Dodgers are 5th. They won it a couple years ago. And you have the Blue Jays, who haven't won anything. The Angels have the 7th most money allocated to players. Actually, it's even higher than that because they're higher than the Blue Jays. They have the 5th most money allocated to their 26-man roster. The Angels, they're a last-place team. Or set 4th place, essentially last place. It's throwing money at the problem is not the Rockies' issue. It's they don't throw money at the gaps, at the holes in the wall. They try to throw money over the wall, and it doesn't always work. I agree with Paul. Dan O'Dowd needs to hire a president of baseball operations that is a baseball guy. Loved Kelly McGregor dearly for what he did for this team, and it turned out to work out.
Absolutely.
But that's not the route you should go. Hey, football guy going to come in and run the team. He needs a guy to come in, and the Rockies have whacked a lot of their scouting and research and development staff.
But I'll say, in the case of Kelly McGregor when he was there, McGregor understood that they need to rely on people that knew baseball, Dan O'Dowd. And while there are people who will criticize how Dan O'Dowd ran things, they got to a World Series.
Kelly McGregor's strength was knowing his weakness.
Was knowing... I'm not the expert on this. We're gonna have somebody like Dan O'Dowd that knows baseball, and he's gonna be the one that decides the direction of the roster assembly of this baseball organization. He's gonna hire his people that he feels like know the game, can draft and develop. And he was the buffer between the Montforts and Dan O'Dowd.
He kept the Montforts out of the building.
Exactly. He kept them out of the way. And so Kelly McGregor did it and did a good job on the business side of things with that aspect of his job. So they bring another guy to play in the NFL, like Kelly did, and Greg Fiesel, who's now the president, chief operating officer. Greg Fiesel played in the league, was an offensive lineman, or was a lineman in the league. He doesn't have baseball background. And he's been involved with the Rockies for 24 years. And so, okay, but where's the baseball guy? Where's a guy that will either, number one, hire a GM that knows the game, comes from the outside, has fresh perspectives, has new ideas, like the Rockies did with Dan O'Dowd, came from an organization, yours, the artist formerly known as the Indians, and came over and helped the Rockies develop into a competitive baseball team that got to a World Series. They let somebody that knew the game come in and run baseball operations. Or in the case of Kelly McGregor, stayed out of Dan O'Dowd's way. But Dick Monfort, with the passing of Kelly McGregor, couldn't help himself but interjecting himself in that. Then he realized he was too involved in that. And then they bring in Fiesel, who doesn't really know anything about that. And he's not going to be a buffer. You think he's going to be a buffer for Dick Monfort?
No, because he's been Dick Monfort's yes man for 20 years.
Exactly.
Same with Bill Schmidt. Same with Jeff Breidich.
Absolutely.
All the ownership's yes guys. There's no one in the leadership right now that can walk into the boardroom and tell Dick Monfort two things. One, you need to stop talking to the media. Two, if you're going to talk to the media, stop saying stupid stuff like we're going to win 94 games when we rolled out 71-win team last year and you didn't sign anybody. You went 71-91. You signed zero major league free agents, and you expect to win 94. Stop saying stupid stuff.
And so you go back to when they had Bob Gebhardt, guy from the Minnesota Twins, when they had Kirby and Ken Herbeck, and they won World Series, and it comes from a successful baseball operation, and he helped to get them to their first playoff appearance by being there to orchestrate that team to build that roster with the expansion draft and what they're able to do. In bringing an Andre Scalarraga in and guys like that.
There's too many guys that the Rockies have promoted that are status quo guys, right? That, well, we've been doing it for so long, and look at how many people are in the ballpark. Well, that's great, but you're not winning, and you're going to drive your own fans that want to watch a winner away at the expense. And then you come out and say, man, I wish we would have more purple in this ballpark instead of Red Sox red or Cardinals red or Cubs blue or Yankees blue and white. Wish we'd have more. Well, stop catering to, you know what? Hey, this is a
come
party.
On in.
Come on in. Watch
Cubs fans, Cardinal fans, come on in.
You know, if you make it to where Rockies fans don't want to give up their tickets, they would much rather watch their team with a chance to win than scalp their tickets and get more than face value to a Cubs fan who can't see his team every time. That's part of ownership's problem, too. Yes, that's on the fans a little bit, but also, at some point, it's fool me once, fool me twice situation, right? To where, man, I've seen this long enough. I know this team's not going to be any good. I don't really want to use this ticket. I don't need to see them get clobbered by the Red Sox. I don't need to see Trevor Story come in here and hit 5 home runs in a 3-game series and then get swept. I don't really need to see that. And I could make 20% on the face of the ticket that I paid for it by giving it to by selling it to a Red Sox fan. I'm going to do that. Because there's no hope that the front office is going to get it figured out, because Dan O'Dowd came from a winning organization. They didn't win the World Series, but they went to 2 in 3 years. And they won the AL Central its first 5 years in existence in the Indians. Bob Gebhardt came from the Twins. They won 2 World Series in the span of 4 years. They were a dominant force in the late 80s, early 90s, the Minnesota Twins. They came in as like, maybe if we do it another way, we can build something. Bob Gebhardt went to the playoffs in 3 years.
Yeah, 95.
This team went from expansion to playoffs, lost to the World Series champion Braves in 95. Dan O'Dowd built a World Series team. Did they get on a hot run? Absolutely. Did they have a couple lucky breaks? 100%. But they were in a position to even be on the verge of the playoffs before they got on that hot streak and then got in, got to the World Series, ran into a buzzsaw Red Sox. Then they kind of lucked out with the guys that Dan O'Dowd drafted and their development team developed to get to the 17-18 playoffs. And then, you know what, Dan O'Dowd out, Jeff Breidich in. Let's cut all of the development guys. Let's cut all the scouting department. And now they win 68
games. Let's give up
games.
On analytics, and let's not even invest in any of that. And, yeah, it's...
You may not like it, but there's a reason why teams that go heavy on analytics win.
Doesn't have to be end-all, be-all. Should be part of the equation, part of the process of building a roster and running your organization. All right, 921. Tom Hudson, the voice of the Gonzaga Bulldogs, will join us next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
.923, thanks for joining us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy. It's the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. 101.1 FM, 1340 AM for the Valley, 102.1 along Highway 50. Online all the time. Get the mobile app. Easy to find at our website, theteam1340.com. Also the Apple App Store or Google Play. And you can also stream us from theteam1340.com. And with us right now, he's the voice of the Gonzaga Bulldogs. They're into the Sweet 16. Big matchup with UCLA coming up out in Las Vegas. Tom Hudson joins us. Tom, great to talk to you again. When we're talking a second time, that means you're into the Sweet 16. Good to have you on again to talk about Gonzaga.
Jim, great to be back. And, man, that promo was smooth. Think about way back when you started, right? You said, hey, I'm on 1340, the end.
How's that?
Right? Now they're already reading the app stores, Google Play, you know, app, that app, this station, we simulcast here. Boy, that's...
Yeah, all back in the 90s.
You're like a pro. It's almost like you've done this before.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, yeah, a lot has changed since, of course, you were in town back with KJCT back in the 1990s. And of course, now, how many years is it again that you've been the Gonzaga play-by-play guy?
This is my 21st year.
21st year.
Play-by-play guy. And, yeah, I've been to every NCAA tournament since. And I was working in TV when I moved up from Grand Junction. You know, I was here for, you know, I was fortunate I moved up in 96. And so, you know, I've seen every tournament game in this run, and it's been remarkable. And like you said, I mean, here we are talking again. I mean, 8 straight Sweet 16s. You know, I mean, I think UNC, you know, in the modern era, you know, mid-80s to early 90s, and then Duke late 90s to mid-2000s made it to 9 straight Sweet 16s. You know, and so every time that somebody tries to make the argument that Gonzaga never wins in the tournament and that they always choke and blah, 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 you know, he's like, yeah, we haven't won a national champion, that's sure, but or championship. But if that's a standard you're held to, that when you don't win a national title, so that's a quote-unquote disappointing season, you're doing something right. and Coach Few has definitely done something right here over his last 25 years of running this thing.
Oh, no doubt about that. Tom Hudson voiced the Gonzaga Bulldogs with us today on the team. Would you consider Gonzaga in blue blood territory?
I think we're getting there, Jim. I mean, there's obviously that question about winning a national title. And I think you have to win a national title to be able to say to anybody who's like, well, you guys haven't won one yet, so you're not a blue blood. If you can win one, I think that solidifies it. Because I just think you look at the records. And, you know, it's funny, you know, in this day and age, you talk about getting old and, you know, all of just the immediate reaction stuff on you know, social media and, you know, the guy sitting behind his keyboard and is anonymous and nobody can really, you know, have an honest conversation with them. You know, oh, they don't win, they don't do their conference is this or conference is that. You look at what Gonzaga's been able to do in these NCAA tournaments. So, you know, last time we lost a first-round game in the NCAA tournament was to Steph Curry and Davidson, right? He's at the tail end of a Hall of Fame career. That was 2008. And we won 14 first-round games in a row. You know, and then when you look at our record against top 25 teams, you know, you go back to 2017, and I want to say we're, you know, maybe now 21-6 against top 25 teams in that stretch, or some number that's that disproves a lot of what people want to say. You know, that we don't win, and our conference is soft, and so you know what we have accomplished doesn't hold any merit. I think Gonzaga is getting to that point. You know, when you look at, I mean, Jim, this year alone, we played 10 NCAA tournament teams. We beat Kentucky, we beat Michigan State, who's still playing, and you know, you go through the list and look at those things. I think Gonzaga's right on the edge of that, but again, I do think to really solidify it, winning a national championship would get that deal done.
Gonzaga play-by-play voice Tom Hudson with us today on the Team Sports Network. A very successful trip over to Ball Arena, over at Chopper Circle, where Gonzaga won both games, played in the region over there, and of course the win against TCU, 84-81. And I didn't realize this. The congratulations to Coach Few and you and Gonzaga, because you've now won the most tournament games held in Denver, surpassing Syracuse with five tournament wins all time over in Denver.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah,
that's
pretty cool.
That's fantastic, right? It was funny that you say that, because I was looking at those numbers like, okay, it's so much for us. You know, the first time we were there back in 2011, we won our first round game, but almost forgot that because Jimmer Fredette got us with BYU that second, year. So, or that second game. So every time you go back and talk, it's, oh, the Jimmer game is kind of what we refer to it as. So, in your mind, you're not remembering that we won that first game. So you're like, yeah, we went 1-1 that year, and then a couple of 2-0s. Back in 16, we won and made our way to Chicago, where we lost to Syracuse. We had a chance to keep moving there, but lost that one late. So yeah, it's been great. The city of Denver's been good, and it's nice for me, Jim. We go in there, we win some games, and of course me living there, and I'm getting all the requests for, hey, where should we go to eat? What should we do? I was like, well, I was here 30 years ago. I'm not really sure, but
I'm not up to date on this stuff. But
yeah,
okay.
No, but I do have a really good friend who I went to school with, who still lives there, and helped me out and got us some really good recommendations, and everybody was happy with that. It's been great being able to go in there and to win basketball games, and I think it's close enough for us that we still get a really good following, and the crowd there was awesome. You could just feel it. People that were really into it. So. No, it was another good trip to Denver for us.
I thought it was kind of interesting that Anton Watson, for who had a really good couple of games over in Denver, was averaging a double-double. He said that Denver reminded him of Spokane.
Yeah, and you know what's funny, Jim, you say that, and I tell people that quite a bit, actually. I say, hey, especially back when I was in school, I mean, obviously Denver's blown up and it's gotten a lot bigger, but it's one of those places that feels like a place that's got everything, but a place that you could also get around and move around, and people are friendly, and I've said that to a few people. It's interesting that Anton said that, because he's a Spokane kid. I mean, he went to Gonzaga Prep down the road, and interesting that he had that to say. I didn't hear that, but yeah, I have told a few people that. Now, my estimation was, 20, 25 years ago. but Spokane is growing a lot, too, though. It's very similar to Denver in that regard, where, for a while there it was, when people come to visit me, my family, my friends, like, God, this place is great. Like, why don't more people live here? You're like, oh, be quiet. Like, yes. don't ruin Gosh. It, And we're living with some of that growth, too. But that was interesting to hear from Anton, who, by the way, Jim, has just been phenomenal for us. Drew Timmy gets so much credit, and deservedly so, for what he's been able to do. But as big a part of our success this year as any is Anton stepping into his role of doing everything for us. Like you said, averaging a double-double, he rebounds. He's got great feel, great hands. I mean, he leads us in steals, blocks shots, defends the other team's best player a lot of times on the defensive end. He's had a phenomenal year for us. It gets overlooked a lot because of Drew and all the attention that he gets.
Tom Hudson, voice of the Gonzaga Bulldogs, with us today on the Team Sports Network. Now, it's a very familiar foe at this stage of the tournament in UCLA. It'll be the third time that you've squared off since 2021. Second time in the NCAA tournament, we should say. But the last time you met was a classic showdown. The 93-90 overtime win by the Zags in Indianapolis in the Final Four. Jalen Suggs with the buzzer beater to send Gonzaga on in that victory against UCLA the last time you met in the tournament.
Yeah, that was absolutely, for so many reasons, Jim, just a crazy... and I'll start you out. We'll get out of the basketball thing. So we walk into the arena, and we were told that Miley Cyrus was going to be doing a concert between the games in the Final Four. So, okay, it was outside. No, it's going to be here. Oh, okay.
Okay.
So we go in, and we're doing our pregame show. So we walk in, and we get set up, and the speakers, and this is like a full-blown concert setup for Miley Cyrus. Okay, so the speakers are pointing directly at us, and we've got this full blown concert going on. You know, while we're trying to do our pregame show, you can't hear each other. Yeah, I mean, it was. You know, I mean, you're half laughing, and you know, it's like, and half it's like, wait, we're about to play to get to a national title game. What the heck's happening? But it was phenomenal. I mean, obviously that whole year was so crazy with everything going on with COVID and the fact that we were undefeated, and for Jalen to hit that shot was just incredible. And such a high level game too, right? I mean, just the number of plays that both teams made down the stretch of that thing, to be at that point where it's, you know, boy, UCLA scored and you're thinking, okay, we're going another overtime, and for Jalen to pull up and hit that shot was enormous. I mean, it was huge. It was such a high level game. Like I said, you know, sometimes, you know, some of those things, especially in these NCAA tournaments where, you know, it seems like the refs swallow their whistles so much and let so much stuff go on, and there's just no flow to games. You know, all these, you know, you see these teams that are scoring in the 70s and 80s and they're winning games by, you know, scoring 58 or 60 points because they just turn into these football games, you know, and for that to have so much flow and to get up to 93-90 and just guys making great plays, you know, time and time again. But I mean, you know, to this point, the best game that I've been associated with, I mean, it was just phenomenal. And then, you know, interesting enough, Jim, we played them at T-Mobile last year here over Thanksgiving. We had a four-team event, and we played them and got after them real good. And so, you know, I'm interested, those three veteran guys that they have, you know, have lost to us in a heartbreaker in the tournament. And then, gosh, I think we jumped them. We were up 40-18 last year when we played them and beat them by 20. It was, you know, a matchup of top two teams at the time. So it'll be interesting to see those three veteran guys and kind of how they come out and how, you know, how much there's a crusade game of these guys have gotten us twice and we need to get them back here before our time's done at UCLA.
And you're talking about two really, really good players for Mick Cronin and Jaime Jaquez and Tiger Campbell. And, you know, Jaquez at 19 points per game, Tiger Campbell, 17 points, 7 assists per game. Talked about you know, Tiger a lot with Mark Johnson that does the University of Colorado Buffaloes, because obviously the Buffs get to see UCLA in Pac-12 play. And just the job that Tiger Campbell does as a floor general for that basketball team. He does such a great job of getting them into the right offensive set, making the right decisions with the basketball.
Yeah, he's unbelievable, Jim. And it's one of those things, you talk about guard play being so important. He started every game he's been, you know, at UCLA, and this is his fifth year. He had an injury, so, you know, so he's an older guy who's, you know, played in 132 games and started all of them. He's phenomenal. He knows what to do. He knows where the ball needs to be. He can go score it if he needs to. He is an absolutely phenomenal player, you know. And then you talk about Jaquez too, you know, a guy who in this day and age where so many people are, you know, infatuated with shooting the three, and it's either shoot a three or get to the rim, you know, with all the analytics and all that other stuff that is a different story and a different conversation for a different day. But, you know, Jaquez is a guy who does it in a lot of different ways. And so, you know, it's a little bit unique. And then, you know, he can score it. He's competitive. He rebounds it. You know, you watch the way that he plays the game, and it's the way that you want your guys to play the game. And then, you know, even the Singleton kid, you know, he's using his fifth COVID year. I mean, he's played in 163 games of his career. You know, I mean, that's valuable experience, you know, across the board for them. But, yeah, those two guys, you know, Jaquez and Tiger Campbell are remarkable players. And, I mean, you see, I mean, Mick Cronin, since he's been at UCLA, he's done such a good job of getting that program back, you know, to those UCLA standards. And those guys have really led the way for him.
Yeah, you know, obviously for Gonzaga to win coming up Thursday, Drew Timmy has to play well. Anton Watson has to play well. But a guy that really is going to have a little bit of pressure on him is Nolan Hickman for you. Just had the one field goal against TCU, playing against a really good perimeter defender in Tiger Campbell. That Nolan Hickman is going to have to find a way to contribute more this time than he did against TCU.
Yeah, you know, Nolan has really been interesting, Jim, because, you know, we've had such a run of point guards that have played really well for us. You know, and I think you go back to when we kind of broke through back in 2015 and made it the Elite Eight down in Houston when we lost to Duke. But, you know, we had Kevin Pangos, who was our point guard now. He's put together a really successful career over in Europe. And then, you know, he was followed by Josh Perkins, who was our all-time leading assist guy, you know, followed by, you know, you get to Jalen Suggs and Andrew Nembhard. We had Ryan Woolridge, who was in there for a year, who transferred from North Texas, who had a phenomenal, ridiculous year for us that nobody expected that you know, that got us to a point we would have been a number one seed in the tournament if COVID hadn't happened. And then, like I said, and then you bring in Jalen and Andrew Nembhard, you know, two guys who are playing in the league right now. You know, and then Andrew last year was Nembhard was our guy. And so Nolan, it's been a little bit of more growth. I mean, we've become spoiled here and that, you know, it's just like insert guy here, he becomes one of the best point guards in the country. And Nolan, I think, is getting to that point where he's getting comfortable and he's figuring things out. He's been more aggressive scoring it here, you know, over the last month or so, and I think he's really getting comfortable. But you're right. I mean, you just feel like, you know, he's going to have to play well. He's going to have to make the right decisions. You know, knock on wood, we've done a great job of taking care of the basketball. I mean, I think over our last 11, we've won 11 in a row. You know, we're averaging right at 9 turnovers a game. You know, we've really taken care of the ball, which we didn't do at the beginning of the year when we were struggling a little bit. So you're right. I think he's going to have to score it a little bit more, but really going to have to take care of the basketball because, you know, it's funny. I think when you think about UCLA historically, you know, defense isn't something that you really comes to mind, right? And now these big Cronin teams, and they're holding teams to 60 points a game. You know, I mean, for us, and we lead the country in scoring, we score 87.5. You know, I mean, you're going to want to try to get out and break out and make some things happen. And Nolan's going to be a huge part of that tomorrow if we're going to be successful.
Tom Hudson, voice of Gonzaga Bulldogs, with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. When you look at the numbers for UCLA, Tom, what you know about the Bruins, what's the one thing that concerns you the most about them leading up to Thursday?
Well, it's that, Jim. I think it's the defensive numbers. I mean, you're obviously worried about, you know, Hawkes because he's the kind of guy that can get rolling and really take over a game. And Tiger Campbell's the same. I mean, you have two guys who can really, you know, have so much impact on a game and can win the game for them. But I do think defensively, that's, you know, that's where you get kind of caught up. If you can get out and run against them and get some easy buckets and get things going, I think you feel pretty good. Now, you know, Coach Hughes' teams, you know, over this run where we've been so successful, you know, can win games in the, you know, in the 60s and 70s if, you know, presented that, you know, that this is just where it's going to happen. You know, the pace isn't going to get up to where we like it. You know, they've been able to win games, but I think, you know, it's that defensive number, you know, the fact that they only, you know, allow 60 points a game. And if, you know, you're able to get out and run a little bit and get some buckets, you know, I think that plays in the huge favor of Gonzaga. So hopefully, you know, the Zags are able to do that and get out and go. And like you said, I think Nolan's going to be a big part of that because if he can get this team moving a little bit, I think that that gives us a little bit of an advantage.
T-Mobile Arena tomorrow night. Our coverage starts at 4:00 with Westwood One of the Sweet 16. So where are you staying in Vegas, by the way? What's the accommodations?
You know, we're at the Park MGM, which is right across the street from the arena. So from that standpoint, it's great. We're right across from T-Mobile. So, you know, no buses, no Ubers, just load up the gear and walk across the street. So that'll be nice for sure. And, you know, we stayed at various places. I mean, the only thing is, you know, over the years, because we play our league tournament here, you know, we've tried to stay in places where maybe the casino, you know, you don't walk off of the elevator and into the casino. This isn't quite like that, what we've had in years past. But these last, I don't know, I want to say, Jim, geez, 8 or 10 years, we've been able to stay in places where, you know, you don't walk directly into the casino. But, it's been quite, it's been good. We got in last night and had a nice dinner. But, nice and close, and it should be fun. It's interesting having the tournament here in Vegas. You know, we've come here for years for a league tournament, but I'm kind of intrigued to see, you know, how it all plays out here with teams coming in and that haven't played here and you know, just kind of the fan feeling and kind of what goes on here over the next couple of days.
Yeah, you've had a couple of relatively short trips to Denver, now to Las Vegas. Not too bad flying from Spokane.
No, it's been great. It's been awesome. And you know, you look at it, we were, you know, okay, you're a 3 seed and you know, leading up those last 2 weeks, you know, so many of the guys that are the supposed experts were shipping us off to, you know, Orlando or Greensboro or Albany. And this was nice, especially with us playing, you know, the NCAA changes. We were trying to think back and remember the last time, you know, it used to be Thursday, Saturdays. That is where you started. You played Thursday, Saturdays until the Final Four. And if you were in the Friday, Sunday deal, you played Friday, Sunday, the first 2 weekends. And then, you know, it obviously changed. You went to the Final Four. I mean, Jim, we didn't get home. I mean, we touched down in Spokane after the win over TCU. It was probably a little after 2:00 in the morning. I mean, we were home for barely 36 hours from the time that, you know,
right.
we touched down after being in Denver to come in here. And, you know, it's interesting because UCLA, you know, they played on Saturday in Sacramento and got home on Saturday evening. So that part of it was a little bit strange. But like you said, the fact that that we're staying relatively close made that a lot easier. I would not have liked to have been on a cross-country trip having to face that stuff. But it has been nice staying out here. And we have great fan support, you know, not only our fans, but I think just, you know, kind of being out here. We've got a lot of folks that, you know, I think when they see us, they've been rooting for us. So that's been a lot of fun.
And I'm rooting for you too, Tom. Hope you guys can get it done against UCLA tomorrow. Once again, our coverage starts with Westwood One pregame at 4 o'clock tomorrow. But if you get a chance to check out Tom and Adam Morrison with the call on the Gonzaga broadcast, please do so. It's, to me, there's nothing better, not to knock any of the guys at Westwood One. They're phenomenal broadcasters who have to call multiple games, and there's a lot of moving pieces there. But guys that follow their team and know their teams really well, those are guys like you, Tom, that I always enjoy listening to because you know your team so well. And I always appreciate the time, and hopefully we'll be talking after this weekend, talking about a trip to the Final Four.
Hey, let's do it again. I was talking to somebody earlier, Jim. I have absolutely zero to do with the outcome, but as a guy who has some superstition in his background, you know, getting to go back to Denver, my old stomping grounds, and you know, I grew up in Houston, and I was joking. I said, "Hey, let's have another conversation. I'll be sitting in my mom's living room,
yeah.
getting ready for this thing." So, I kind of laugh about that. So, boy, what a special thing it would be, you know, selfishly. But yeah, I'm kind of hopeful that that we could continue this deal, and let's talk again next week.
Absolutely, truly a chance for a homecoming for you, Tom Hudson. That'd be great to go back to your home state of Texas and go back to Houston. Hey, Tom, have a great call tomorrow night. I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on again today.
Awesome, Jim. Absolutely. Great talking to you as always, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Take care. Tom Hudson, voice of the Gonzaga Bulldogs. One of the very nicest guys mm-hmm. you're going to meet in broadcasting.
Absolutely.
And tremendous human being. Wyatt and him both are just incredibly classy guys. Mark Johnson, Brian, we're always fortunate
yes.
that those guys are willing to put up with us.
It's funny you bring up Wyatt's name. I do have UCLA winning on my bracket palooza bracket, but I can hedge my bet. I have a feeling that next Tuesday's show will include two Final Four radio voices.
That'd be great.
If we can get Tom on next Tuesday after they beat UCLA and then beat probably Arkansas. And Wyatt Izzo and Tennessee. Then they set up.
Both tough for both yeah. those guys for their teams to get through, but certainly doable.
It's tough
though.
For everybody. That
yeah,
left.
Certainly doable, though, for both of those teams.
Yes.
For K-State and Gonzaga. All right, 9:45. And I know you had something for four down.
Mm-hmm. I can shift it to garbage time, though.
Because we will do that.
I can do both of mine in garbage time.
Okay, so we'll have that coming up in just a moment. Text or call the show, 970-242-1340. Still have time to get in your Wine About on Wednesday with Talon Wine. Evan from Grand Junction, Rockies are a joke. Bud Black does as well as he can with the crap he's given. Until he has at least an average pitching staff and stop trading away Hall of Fame third baseman for pennies on the dollar, we don't stand a chance. Go Nuggets and Broncos. Don't forget Nuggets tonight at Washington, 4:30 here on the team. Let's see. I think we're pretty caught up on...
We have Jamie, I believe. Pile crime we never
yeah,
got.
Yeah, I didn't get to Jamie. I'm so sorry that didn't get to Jamie earlier. I have a wine for Mike in Scottsdale. He made his city seem really nice. We decided to go check it out. We expected sunny golf weather, but apparently it just rains a lot here. I'm wondering if Mike can direct me towards the local garage band scene.
Mike will probably get you to a seedy-ish bar with, like, Faster Pussycat and Bang Tango and Shotgun Boulevard playing a triple bill.
He does like the regional band, The Refreshments, I believe, too, if memory serves.
Well, Mike is a big fan of Refreshments, from what I understand.
And also, going back to his CU Boulder days, not that they're playing out in Arizona right now, but Big Ed Todd the Monsters. That I don't know if he was in the same dorm
man.
As the guy that plays bass for Big Ed Todd the Monsters or not. I think there's a story there that Mike from Scottsdale has about... At one point, being in the running mm-hmm. to be the bass player for Big Head Todd the Monsters.
Yeah, and that could really be... You could say that to anybody in a bar, And other than the band itself, everybody could be like, oh, okay, you know, believe it, maybe.
I do know Mike is musically inclined. I've seen his guitars, so I know he has.
I mean,
he does play guitars. Well, he does play them, though. It's not, he just doesn't possess them. He actually plays them. Okay.
Like, I have vegetables. It doesn't mean I'm in shape. I possess fruit. Doesn't mean I know what to do with
it. Having vegetables of being in shape or not, they don't have to, one doesn't have to be. Okay, you can eat vegetables and be on the chunky side.
That's my man.
There has to be some workout, some walking, some exercise.
That's what I mean. You can have guitars. It doesn't mean you're any good at playing them. You can also play them poorly.
I've heard he's pretty good, so okay. I do not know that from personal experience. All right.
Any other pile member, I believe.
Get off his back, man. Get off his back. It's time for...
That's the story of the greatest sport moment of all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's This Day in Sports History.
All right, 1953, the U.S. beats Chile 49-36 to win the first ever FIBA World Championship for women's basketball. Won that tournament. 1969, Lou Alcindor, of course, who became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, scores 37 points as UCLA beats Purdue 97-72 to win the NCAA Men's Basketball National Championship. Alcindor's named the MVP for the third straight year. One final one here in 1989, Pete Rozelle announces his retirement as NFL commissioner after 29 years on the job. We didn't get to Goodell and his extension. We'll try to get to that, hopefully, in garbage time. All right.
I thought we talked about that yesterday.
But I think it's now more official.
Oh, okay.
It was more like, hey, it's going to happen. I think there's some more details on that. All right, very quickly, celebrate 40 years of fun and funding for the great outdoors with Cutter Lottery's new 40th anniversary scratch games. They packed 40 years of fun into every game, including 1, 2, 5, 10, and their first ever $40 scratch game. Now the celebration of a lifetime is just a scratch away. And once again, five exciting ways to play with that new $40 scratch game. In Colorado Lottery's first 40 years, they've given back over $4 billion to parks, trails, and open spaces in Colorado. Colorado Lottery is the only lottery in the world whose funds go strictly to the outdoors. Imagine what we can achieve in another 40 years. Dozens of state parks and hundreds of wildlife areas are funded by the Colorado Lottery. Get it now, the new $40 scratch game with the Colorado Lottery. All right, we'll return with some garbage time next on the Jim Davis Show.
They're a lot of fun. Oh.
The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
Say what?
On Colorado's sports leader, the team.
Welcome back, Jim and the Buckeye Boy. Time to wrap it up with a dive in the dumpster. It's garbage time.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Oh, I love trash.
All right, Buckeye, you have yours.
Yeah, I remembered where I remembered Jerickson and Profar from last. We talked about it a bit last year. He was the Padres outfielder that goaded Miguel Rojas to try to take third when he was in left field. And so Miguel did, and Jerickson couldn't throw him out. So,
but then Profar says, I wasn't trying to do that.
I wasn't trying to do that. Okay. All right, dude. Whatever.
All right, so all-star guard for the Grizzlies, John Morant, addressed stories about him. Of course, he went through the 8-game suspension, and it's for the gun scandal that happened over in Denver. He was asked if he went to counseling in Florida during his suspension, and addressed for the counseling was for an alcohol problem. He said, "I don't have an alcohol problem. I've never had an alcohol problem. I went there for counseling to learn how to manage stress and cope with stress in a positive way, instead of ways I've tried to deal with it before that caused me to make mistakes." So alcohol had nothing to do with what happened at what, Chuck and Willie's or wherever he was at?
Yeah.
I find that hard to believe.
I would at least try to be like, yeah, you know what? I'm not dumb making bad decisions with guns. I just have a problem with alcohol, which leads to, instead of, yeah, I'm just stupid and I make bad decisions with guns because I'm stressed.
That's not great either.
No, neither one's great, but at least one you can at least fight a little better than the other, I think.
You recognize the problem that you're stressed, mm-hmm. and your behavior is an offshoot of that. Not because you've drank too much and you're blind drunk and you don't know what you're doing and could kill somebody. And of course, he's had the other incidents too, where there was the couple of kids that he threatened, or the one kid that he threatened, and things like that that have been part of the story as well, that apparently have not been alcohol related. So let's hope he gets himself straightened out. Let's hope that's the case. All right, that's our show for today. Thanks for joining us. Jim Rome's coming up next. Don't forget Nuggets in Washington tonight. Pregame at 4:30 with Jason Kosmiski on the Team Sports Network.